Welcome to Real Talk Extra, the trailer reactions.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
I'll have what she's having.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Say hello to my little friend!
Keep your friends close, but your enemies close.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Real Talk Extra. My name is Mfon Edem, and today we are going to be doing something a little bit different. We're going to be looking at upcoming movies or some movies that have been released in recent times, and basically, we are going to glean off the trailers that have been released on the internet as movies that we think that you should watch when you get a chance, or because, you know, like we do on this show, with the multiplicity of all the movies that are being shown out there now, it is something that you may find yourself fiddling with your remote control for like 2 hours before you can figure out what you're going to watch, or you jump into something and you just, you know, watch it for the first 10 minutes and say, no, this is not something I think I have time to do. So what we're trying to do with this show is to basically give you some tips of something you think that you can be able to watch that should tickle you intellectually as well as entertain you. With me today, I have Onyeka Onyekpe. Onyeka, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up? What's up?
good. And I also have Stanley Agu. How you doing, Stanley?
Hello. Hey, I'm fine, and it's good to be here today.
Okay. Great. Okay. First of all, I mean, you know, we're trying to figure out some of the new, since we are going into the festive season, we are trying to figure out some of the things that we know, because, like, we had COVID last year. A lot of filmmakers were struggling with, you know, do I release my film on these streaming platforms? Like Wonder Woman, when it came out, it was supposed to be like one of the big Wonder Woman, you know, Wonder Woman movies, but it was put out on HBO Max, which was a streaming service. I watched Wonder Woman on HBO Max. And at that particular time, I think most of the cinemas were shut in America. And most people had the option of only, you know, watching it on a streaming service. So what we noticed is that I think a lot of filmmakers that decided that, look, if you like, take me to jail. I'm not releasing my movie on no streaming service. I want people to come to, you know, the cinema to watch it. So we find that a lot of movies right now are like, you know, popping out this particular period. So one of the first movies that we are good, there is this new one they called The Many Saints of New Ark.
All trailers used in this podcast is posted on our website at realtalkextra.com. That is realtalkextra.com. When you get to the website, click on Trailer Reactions, and you'll be able to watch all the previews used in this podcast.
What do you want, Richard?
I'll be honest with you.
I want the money.
I want to do a good deed. I want to do a lot more.
The best things in life are free.
I try to set an example for my nephew.
Give them to the birds and bees. I want money.
Anthony got kicked out of school. I went through all that trouble. And for what?
I'm always being accused.
You gotta be good.
That's what I want.
I
want
to do whatever I can to help the family.
That's what I want. Money don't get everything, it's true. What it don't get, I can't use. I want money.
Wonder what they talk about in there.
I didn't catch the name.
Pussy. Put him on the table.
Dick, I just got this jacket.
You know, I try so hard.
Gotta do something about Dickie Malasani.
Many Saints of New Ark. A soprano story. Onyeka, what do you think they're trying to say with this movie? Because I'm seeing, you know, I'm seeing Ray Liotta in that preview. I think I'm seeing him there. And was he in the original Sopranos?
No, he wasn't. He was actually in this Goodfellas.
It's Goodfellas. You know, sometimes you just mix and mash all these mafia movies together and you don't know who was where.
It's all the same actors anyway. Most of the time.
Sometimes I get confused. Was Robert De Niro in, was he in Goodfellas or was he in, you know, sometimes I just mix and match them and most of the time. But what do you make out of this preview?
Man, I'm super excited. Sopranos is one of my top favorite TV shows of all time. And I can't wait to watch a movie that shows a young, you know, Tony Soprano, you know, how he became who he became and everything around it. You know, mafia movies are always fascinating to watch. That emphasis on family, the way they handle disputes, you know, there's just, I don't know, they made it look glamorous, so to speak. And it's something I'm just excited to watch.
Yeah, it looks kind of glamorous. We are seeing from the preview alone, I'm seeing something that has been taken back in time because it's looking like it's taken back in time. And before they started going to all them Bada Bing and all of that. And we see, I'm looking at Ray Liotta in that trailer and I'm seeing him as maybe he's trying to tell a story or something. I'm just predicting or giving my calculations. Maybe they may use flashback or flash forward and all of that. But Stanley, what's your own take on this preview?
It's something everybody's excited about, especially if you've watched Sopranos. And you also, like Onyeka mentioned, you're a fan of the Italian genre of mafia. So we all grew up with The Godfather. We know how iconic that movie is to everybody and all that kind of other movies, you know, that have been centered around the Italian mafia. So culture. So everybody's really looking out for it, especially those who follow The Sopranos, really. So it's like looking at the preview, the trailer, you can see that it's back in time, going back to how Tony Soprano started. We would like to see that just like a lot of movies are trying to do now. We have the upcoming Game of Thrones. They're also having their spin-offs, trying to go back in time. You know, so this is just like that, trying to go back to how this whole story of The Sopranos started, how he got the guts, how he got the courage to now be what who he is and that iconic figure. So I'm really looking forward to it, yeah. The Italian mafia, so is like Unica mentioned, it's also about family. You know, the Italians love family, they love their food, they love their brotherhood, So it's something we want to see how, you know, his upbringing led to this iconic mafia boss. So really good to see how it all spinned off at the end of the day. I've heard good reviews about it that he did very the son, that is the young soprano, acted by his son, was a very good accent and. Everything went out very well. So,
that is the person who acted as Tony Soprano himself.
Yeah.
That's a young version of Tony. Anyway, like you did mention with the Game of Thrones characters, we look at how most of these filmmakers just want to take a movie. It's either they go back in time. And so for some of us who follow the Star Wars anthology and you know, if you follow the Star Wars, you find out, okay, they may tell you a story that has happened. And then sometimes they will just take you like 100 years back or 100 couple of galaxies back. And they just tell you, okay, this is how it's happening or this is what led to this. And you must be an avid follower. I mean, for those of us who follow the MCU universe, that's Marvel Comics universe and their stories, you know, if you saw WandaVision, you'll find out how they were able to take things all the way back and how Wanda was able to play with time and all of that. So I think it's something that they are doing now, but I think principally to feed into new, you know, not to new viewers, but if you had a huge following from your last movie, right? You just want to do something that would... would bring more people to see, okay, let me come back and see exactly what is happening. But do you think they would have continued this thing if James Gandolfini was alive?
That's a good question. You know, I can't really tell. You know, it's
I am thinking of it that way though.
I think it's possible, but you know, yeah.
I think they would have, because it's about storytelling. If you have, if you know the act of storytelling and you know how to captivate your audience, you can still go back in time. Like, for example, the Game of Thrones I just mentioned, they are now doing a spin-off, which is about going back about 5,000 years when the Targaryen house started.
I can't wait.
But they need to redeem themselves, because it didn't end well.
I'm trying to now tell you how the Targaryens, how they get to control the dragon, the bond with the dragon, how the time. So it's like going back. All of them are still alive, but they're still trying to go back in time to give us that story. So even though Gandolfini was still alive, it's about telling the story of his childhood and his youth and what made him become that mafia boss, that courage to take on the existing house then in the mafia. So because you have to really do some kick ass and do some kind of dangerous moves to take down some dons and become the Capone. It's not just, it takes courage, it takes leadership for you to get people to do that. So it's about telling the story. And once you can get the story and the story is interesting, people will get hooked on it. So
I think a little bit of that was done with The Godfather. If we remember part one, then if you watch the part two of The Godfather, where Robert De Niro now came in, wasn't that like a flash? Was that flashback or flash forward? I think lost.
Going back to Sicily, where it started from.
That's exactly what happened, right? Yes, like Godfather 2, when Robert De Niro was introduced to act as Don Corleone, that was a flashback. And, you know, they started, telling the same kind of story of, the build up. And the reason I said that is because I'm trying to wonder how interested audiences may be, because I'm feeling that this little sense of new arc, it's like, I think they really have to bring this story. They really have to bring this story, because if they don't bring the story, like, you know, when you've known Tony Soprano and all that, it's only going to be like diehard fans that will. Mm-hmm. It's going to be diehard fans that will remain, that will stick it out to the end, at the end of the day. Because if you say, oh, just bring, you just want to tell a basic.
But I think it's a very good thing, because, you know, for a lot of stories, you know, as you mentioned, it happened in The Godfather. Even Star Wars, you know, Star Wars was a cult classic when it came out in the 70s. But, you know, people were wondering, who is Luke Skywalker? Who is Darth Vader? How did all this come about? Okay, it's his father. What's the connection? So when they went back in time and, you know, they showed us how it all came about, how we got to where we got to, you know, it's better for audiences. And it's a way to keep the story alive, because a lot of stories are basically old stories being told over and over again. Right. Even Lord of the Rings, they did it with, you know, the Hobbits. They went back and they did Hobbits, and we now understood, okay, this is what's going on. Okay, these are why the dwarves are like this. Okay, this is the angle between Legolas and, you know, you keep understanding better and better what these people are trying to say, what they're doing. And it's a very good thing. I personally love it when they go back in time and they tell these stories, because it helps make the character that, you know, you care for much, much, you know, it's something. You get involved there, like, okay, this is what happened. I mean, Harry Potter, Fantastic Beast, they talk about a Dumbledore. And when I watch it, I'm like, is this Dumbledore? Is this his uncle? Or is this, you know, I last time finding out that, okay, this is where Dumbledore came from. And this is why he controls the Phoenix and all those things. So, you know, all those back in time stories that are excellent, because there are lots of stories that are very rich. And there's so much you can do in just two or three movies.
I agree with you, Onyeka. Even now, Lord of the Rings is now, they are shooting the Lord of the Rings spin-offs. And
really?
The most expensive spin-offs now is Lord Peter Jackson is working on it right now.
Oh, Peter Jackson is still doing it. I'm so happy. That guy's work is excellent.
Everybody's, if you have a very powerful story, and you know, like you said, you can't just say the whole story in three movies. These stories have deep, deep, deep connections, deep, deep meaning. So the more they unbundle these stories, is the better for everybody, and better for understanding as well.
Which I think is a very difficult job, by the way, because to unbundle these stories to the average viewers. I mean, you know, I'm even thinking of an American audience might that may not connect. And for those of us, you know, who watch it in like in Africa, West Africa, and other parts of the world, our interpretations of, you know, these movies, in as much as it has been able to entertain a very strong cross section of the audience, like at the same time, I think that you lean into the following. My own is that you must lean into the following. And that is what Marvel Comics Universe is doing right now, which I feel, you know, like sometimes, like if you have Disney Plus, you find out that when you want to watch a particular new movie that has been posted, maybe after that, they can give you what you call some like a prerequisite, meaning that, okay, for you to watch, for you to be able to understand this one, maybe you should go and watch Age of Ultron, Avengers, or go and watch, mm-hmm. you know, go on, they will just give you something to refresh your memory, then you come back to. So I think that some of these, when they try to build these anthologies, they just put all these stories together and say, okay, watch this one first, then you can watch this one. But they must really lean into the following before they can keep it moving like that.
All trailers used in this podcast is posted on our website at realtalkextra.com. That is realtalkextra.com. When you get to the website, click on Trailer Reactions, and you'll be able to watch all the previews used on this podcast.
You seem particularly triggered right now. Can you tell me what happened?
I've had dreams that weren't just dreams.
Am I crazy? We don't use that word in here.
Have we met?
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall.
Time to fly.
If you want the truth, Neo, you're going to have to fly me.
The only thing that matters to you is still here. I know it's why you're still fighting and why you will never give up.
You don't know me.
No?
Wow, what a preview.
Oh my.
You know, if these, I think the primary job of people who, you know, are able to cut this sound and lay the, you know, the soundtrack and the vocal overlays to be able to present a preview, if they have not made you say, I have to put this movie on my list, then they've not done their job. And, you know, but for this Matrix, this is Matrix Resurrections, right? Wait, just to be sure, we've had the Matrix, we've had Matrix Reloaded, right? Matrix Reloaded was the second one.
Yes, the Matrix Revolution.
Then Matrix Revolutions. And then this one now that is this brand new one is Matrix Resurrections. What are the expectations here? Because we see Keanu Reeves, I think. We don't see Lawrence Fishburne, but Lawrence Fishburne. But I see a Lawrence Fishburne lookalike there. There's this guy in the dark glasses. I think his name is supposed to be Yahya Abdul something. So what's your take on the...
It's watching, really. Everybody, if you've been a Matrix fan, I think Matrix is the only movie I've seen about 5 times. I hardly watch movies twice or thrice, but I've seen it over and over again. And every time I watch the trilogy, I just get fascinated. And because it's something we are all used to, especially in digital space. And you could see some resemblance regarding what we are beginning to witness now and what the Matrix, the Wachowski brothers, were trying to tell us.
So a lot of us regard the Wachowski brothers as prophets. It's like they were able to be ahead of time and tell us this story, just like the same way we all watched this movie. I forgot, just keep my mind now. The Terminator.
Okay, the Terminator series, yeah.
Changed the way we were viewing cinema and the different kind of story. Now we're beginning to see, we're talking about the rise of the machines, and this is the same thing we saw in Terminator. The machines in the robotics, the robots are coming to take our jobs. Now we're beginning to see that too with The Matrix. So Matrix is a movie that, this Matrix Resurrection is one movie that we've all been waiting for. We actually thought it was not going to happen. And we're saying Lana Wachowski is not part of the Wachowski brothers, but it's like the family. They does what they've been able to put, like their whole career has been around this Matrix mythology. So looking at what they're going to do in this Matrix 4, the Resurrection, is something we're all just expecting to see in the Christmas Day box office that will be mega. A lot of young ones don't understand it. I know I've tried, my son has been able to watch The Matrix, and he's still a bit too heavy for him right now. But I'm going to do a lot of explanation to get him prepared for The Matrix 4. And I can't wait. Now, if you look at the trailer, of course, we see a Keanu Reeves, which is new, which is a bit confused, like probably doesn't understand who he is. And we also seen a young Morpheus as well, which is not played by Lawrence Fishburne, but now looking at the young Morpheus. And also the story about going back to the beginning where it all started, all looking for how did it all start, the beginning of the Matrix. And it's exciting. I just can't wait because there's a lot of mismatch here. But then trying to sell you the trailer, trying to make it Mark Mottrin, I just can't wait. That's all I can say. And I will start watching. I will go back to Matrix, Matrix Reloaded again, Matrix Revolution, then get back to...
Lord knows I've told myself that that is exactly what I'm going to do. because the truth is, I think a couple of weeks ago when I had a little bit of time, I just saw Matrix and I put it on. That's the very first Matrix. I think I watched up until the part I felt when Neo started getting into the Matrix for the first time. So I think I stopped a little bit after that. I just never got back to it. But I know that this particular new one has some of the old guys like Carrie-Anne Moss, and he has this new guy they call Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. And he is Morpheus actually.
Yeah.
Then Jada Pinkett is also there. And I can't remember if... That's why I said I have to see it. I have to see it again because I don't even remember if Ellen Holman was part of the first one. But Onyeka, what do you see in this particular upcoming?
For me, I am already ahead of you guys and I'm looking forward for Matrix Redemption. First Reloaded, Revolution, Resurrection. I'm sure Matrix Redemption is coming in. Well, this movie is actually, if people who are a fan of Matrix and the whole Matrix world, at the end of part two, Reloaded, when he gets to meet the guy White, as I like to call him. He ends up telling Neo that, do you think you're the first Neo to get to this stage? You're like the sixth Neo. So stop getting all excited. This is something that keeps happening over and over again. And so I feel Redemption is a moment in time when he is coming into the beginning of the story, but as a Neo that actually knows what is happening. Normally Neo is always someone that is awakening and trying to discover himself and going through all those birthing processes. But now he's coming into the Matrix as a fully aware Neo, So it's like all those things we say that if you were 12 years old and you know what you know now, what would you do? It's how it has that kind of feel about it. And it's just an exciting time. Fun fact though, Nala Wachowski was one of the Wachowski brothers. She and her brother have both transitioned to the now trans woman. So it's actually not that it's not any other sibling from anywhere. one of the it was actually one of the brothers that did this movie. Larry is now Lana, and Lily has also changed her name to someone else. So they both transitioned into trans women, and so one of the brothers is now actually one of the producers of this movie.
Okay, in other words, you're saying we can't like, because you know, like when we say the Wachowski brothers now, it's technically not sound correct right now.
Gotcha.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, thanks for bringing that up. I have not followed it that deeply because you know, I think did they win an Oscar? I think they won an Oscar as at that time, right?
Mm-hmm.
For this particular movie. So that's particularly the last time I think I do remember them as per movie. But for me, in terms of like The Matrix, you know, it has all these very deep concepts about, you know, how you go into go into this particular world that is supposed to be real, but it's not real. I'm just talking about it on the surface level, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one, we talk about the concept. In this preview, we see the blue pill and the red pill too. And for those of us that have followed Matrix, we already know what it represents, right? So the thing here is that we see it played out in this movie. We may see a little bit of action, you know, points here and there, explosives and all of that. But what I notice is that we see a little bit of a regular world in this movie, and some of you already have mentioned that it may have some type of, you know, flashback. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm looking at their ages. Kenny Reeves pretty much looks what I feel he should be looking like right now. But I'm just thinking that are we sure this is going to be a flashback film? We don't know, because some of these previews sometimes they trick you into something, and then
that's the thing. I got to feel that it's a bit of both. There's a bit of flashback, and there's also a bit of going into the future, you know. So it's lovely to watch. And for some younger people who may not have watched Matrix, don't get confused. It's not John Wick Part 5, you know? Because Keanu Reeves' face is synonymous with a guy that's angry because they killed his dog. No, it's not John Wick. This is Neil Anderson.
It's true. Do you think I think there are certain crowds that would know Keanu Reeves more as a John Wick, because understand that Matrix was released in 1999. So somebody who is, say, if you're like maybe 21, 22 now, then Matrix would have been released at your birth, the year you were born, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that was why when they were having that 9/11 discussion, they were talking about, okay, some people don't even know what really happened. They don't know why people are quarreling and all that, but they just know that, okay, this thing happened when they were born, before they were born, and all of that. So I think we said this movie is going to air on Christmas Day. It's going to be officially released on Christmas Day, right? That's a Christmas movie. Yeah. I think these Christmas movies, I believe that these Hollywood film producers, they probably would lobby to get that date, because that is
that's a huge date.
It's a huge date.
Everybody's at home.
Yes. We cannot all release our movie on Christmas Day. Because if we try it, some people may not. You remember the final of Game of Thrones, the very last episode of Game of Thrones, the finale. I think it aired on the same day on HBO when the Super Bowl was happening, and Super Bowl was like the final. It was a very big thing, and it's a very big thing in America. So I think they had to split their audience, because of course they had to split their audience. You know, Super Bowl, I have to watch it live, please. But Game of Thrones, I can always record it. Nobody should talk to me about it immediately after the Super Bowl. Next morning, I watch it. Something like that. Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the aspects of the Matrix that got everybody excited in Matrix, the number one Matrix, was also the cinematography. Time that we saw many cameras, you know, they've been set up to create this still picture in terms of when you know, this movement, we all know about the gun and the canaries taking that fall, and you know, it was just amazing. We've not seen it before. Nobody has seen that kind of stuff in the in cinemas. And I remembered very well that Peter Jackson, just you mentioned his name, said that he had to borrow that concept, you know, really. And he had to take, because when everybody said, wow, and
because they placed a lot of cameras. It wasn't just one camera. I heard it was a lot of cameras over close to about 20 to create that effect that happened. So we have to give them that innovation too. They brought into the cinema.
I think they won an award for it. They won best visual award, effect. Yeah. That particular concept, you know, that thing where somebody just, you know, stands still and just stand still in the air, and then the camera kind of like just does a little 360 degree spin. And that thing is being used even in sports now. Like now you have all this VAR in soccer and all of those things. They want to really check the angle of everything. Even in you know, American football, the NFL, they use all those things to have like a very deep view of it. And it was the Matrix that actually, for people who may not be familiar with this history, like, you know, Stanley just actually reminded us that it was the Matrix that actually did bring that thing out. That's the first place I saw it anyway. So,
I don't know if the Matrix 4 is going to give us any surprise. So,
they may. The story in itself is huge, right? Yes. The story in itself is huge. I think people who are, you know, have become locked into this whole Matrix, the storyline, if you watched it all the way to Reloaded, and you know, you find that people that are going to go to see this movie are people who have been following it. And I think most of these Hollywood filmmakers, like we've always said, is that they try to tap into that audience. They try to really tap into that audience. Anyways, we are going to just, you know, watch, and since it's a podcast, you can listen to most of these previews. We are going to post it on the website. It's on realtalkextra.com. That is realtalkextra.com. We will post the previews there so that you can watch and consider if you are going to see this movie. And the next movie that we are going to review is My Name is Bond, James Bond.
The past isn't dead.
James, fate draws us back together. Now your enemy is my enemy.
His name is Seven.
And what does he want?
Revenge. Me.
When her secret finds its way out, it'll be the death of you.
You can imagine why I've come back to play.
There's a young lady in Santiago I want you to meet.
You're late.
When you're ready.
Salute.
When I met your new 00, she's a disarming young woman.
I get why you shot him.
Yeah, well, everyone tries at least once.
James Bond. We both eradicate people to make the world a better place. I just want to be a little tidier.
You know, this James Bond trailers, they do not disappoint. Let me just put it, for lack of a better way to put it, they don't disappoint. But first of all, before we talk about this trailer, I want to ask, starting with you, Onyeka, who was your best James Bond, or who is your best James Bond?
I had this argument with my brother recently. I don't know how to go about it. What I said in the end was, for some reason, Daniel Craig was a bit too
macho.
And I understood the whole, you know, coming of age story. You know, he's just started from the beginning, so he's not yet as refined as he can be. But I like old school things too much. Sean Connery, to me, is unmatched. And the whole Scottish accent, everything, he had a swagger about him that, you know, he was also dangerous. He had that dangerous feel, but he was also very smooth. Then Daniel Craig, Roger Moore, close second, Pierce Brosnan, they have Timothy Dalton. Then the rest, all those one-timers are forgettable.
I think but Timothy Sean Connery is my favorite. Oh, Sean Connery is your favorite.
He did the Living In series, Living In Daylight.
Did he do Golden Eye at the same time?
He did the one with Grace Jones. Which one had Grace Jones?
I can't say. I think there were some old ones.
There was one that had Grace Jones in it. I've forgotten the name now. But, you know, he did two. He had two or three.
Yeah.
That's all three after Roger Moore. Then it was quiet for a while. Then Pierce Brosnan showed up, brought it back to life. Daniel Craig now just took it to the final level.
Stanley, who is
Sean Connery is my favorite.
Oh, he's, okay. Sean Connery is your favorite. Okay. So, Stanley.
I think it's for me, Daniel Craig, in terms of.
Really?
Yeah. For okay. Daniel Craig, because the threat being encountered by Daniel Craig is on a different level compared to what Roger Moore encountered. And I love Roger Moore. I love him, really. Yeah. Because,
that's my Roger Moore is mine, actually. That's for me.
I love Sean Connery. I love these two guys. They were very good. Sean Connery was more like a playboy kind of. But we see that Craig is like what we expect James Bond to be, the hard man. I don't know if that kind of Sean Connery character would have fitted well into the current threats being played now by James Bond. But Daniel Craig has done very well. And this is his last. He's tired of it. So.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
it is.
Okay.
I heard there's some debate now whether they need to bring a woman to do James Bond.
The debate is actually that the black girl in the preview, it might be the new James Bond. She'll take over the role. You know, the 007 is like a role. It's not necessarily a person. So yeah. They say that, you know, because it is a role, that the next person might be a woman, you know, a black woman, blah, 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 blah. And to me, I just feel, you know, 007, just leave 007 for us. You can do 008 or 09 or 06.
Wait, the question I have is that I don't know. I've not even
just leave it alone.
I've not even heard these things you guys are talking about, right?
Are you serious?
Oh, no, I haven't
heard really? The thing is, yeah. The first started with a black guy. Mm-hmm. Started with a black guy, and Idris Elba was number one. You know,
I heard about it. Yes, I heard as far as Idris Elba. I never heard about the fact that they
then were. Now they've got to a lady and a black lady, you know. If you're a sticker of white people, people have been wondering whether they'll pick Robert Pattinson, you know, the guy but he's doing Batman. He's doing Batman. So I don't know whether he'll be able to juggle both roles, Batman and James Bond at the same time. But, you know, there are all sorts of debates about it. And I just believe characters should be left alone. You know, it's just create a new character. You can piggyback on the story, but create a new character. Imagine making Captain America a woman. That's Captain Marvel.
Captain America has already been made a black. Do you remember when we had this conversation about the Bechdel test?
Yeah.
Understand that there are people in the
that
background
test
who are
to be buried.
It needs to be what?
Buried.
Maybe we'll make Wonder Woman a man too.
Come on, that's a serious.
No. See, first of all, let us say there are people who do not want to be seeing movies all about the man is the hero, and the woman, all she does is she is the lady in the high castle waiting to be rescued by a charming prince and all that. There are people who basically, they are vehemently angry about such a concept. If they see that a movie smells of that concept, they are not going to watch it. And, you know, people who lean very heavily, you know, deeply into some very, very deep angle of feminist ideology, they feel that they do not want those kind of movies to even be made at all. And from, I'll just take a rough guess, that is basically what could be leaning into this whole idea of, you know, having James Bond being cast as a black woman. I never even really heard about it. I'm just hearing it for the first time. And I mean, it would be interesting to see, because it's two things that will happen. I know that movie makers always follow the money. they follow the money. If you make a movie, you see how many people come and watch it. You adjust as you go. You understand? You adjust as you adjust as you go. But for this No Time to Die, for me, I don't know what I can get out of this particular preview. We see the regular James Bond action. We see a lot of characters being flashed on the screen. Then no regular familiar faces, because, you know, James Bond that we know, like I said, Roger Moore is my favorite James Bond. And then they had Miss Moneypenny, the lady in the office. Then you had the one that they call M now, that moved into this new guy that they call M. I think M was a man before. Then they had M became a woman, right?
Judi Dench, yeah.
Judi Dench became M, you know, which is
now they have Ralph Fiennes.
Ralph Fiennes is a new M.
Yeah, Ralph Fiennes is M.
Is M now.
Lord Voldemort.
Oh, okay. That's in Harry Potter, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that movie is supposed to be aired in a couple of days from this particular recording, which is supposed to be October the 8th, if I'm correct. I think I do look forward to watching it. I say Roger Moore is my best, but there is something about Daniel Craig that I feel if he leaves, he may be missed, because he represents a modern day era of James Bond that is more like the threat is real. You know, the threat is real. Like in Live and Let Die, you see Roger Moore put in a small little island with crocodiles and he's still adjusting his suits. I mean, <they're> crocodiles. You know, crocodiles are about to eat you up, dude. But you're still so... I feel that Daniel Craig kind of, he brings some kind of, you feel the threat. He's serious here. He's the no smiling version of James Bond. Unlike your Sean Connery, who just, you know, is kind of less affairs. You see him in Dr. No and Diamonds Are Forever, where he just has this kind of, oh, the whole world is coming to an end. Don't worry, we're going to handle it. That
kind of thing. The threat that Roger Moore, Sean Connery encountered was basically the Western world with Russia.
That's the Cold War.
The
Cold War era.
The threat is multiple in terms of different threats. You're getting from terrorists. You're also getting from enemies, digital.
Cyber threats.
High-tech weapons. Look, you can't have that smiley James Bond guy. Somebody to tell people, look, man, this is going to be very serious and you need someone that is going to do that.
So, yes. That we are not playing.
Like you said, 007 is a role in MI6. It's a spy. So definitely anybody can play it, but it's just our attachment to the fact that it's male. But they should start by giving it maybe to a black guy like Idris Elba, because I believe would do a fantastic job. He has the accent, he has the build. And we've seen him play a lot of villain roles. And also good guy roles. He's very good with martial arts. So definitely he can do very well in that role. If you also give it to a lady, a woman, good. If it's someone that can, some of them can do very well. We can probably see something different. Yeah. But I think we should just leave it to Idris Elba or maybe a black guy for now. Then they can transition to a female. Just like us now trying to say, we want to do Wonder Woman. Are you going to say we're going to have a man play the Wonder Woman role? Or are you going to call
this? No. I don't think.
Are we going to call this new Bond Jane Bond, not James Bond?
No. I think you already mentioned it, you understand. 007 is a role, right? Like, you know, MI6, 007. Like, so it may be somebody with a totally different name. Like, you know, and they'll just present this character as somebody who is just going to be this, you know, female.
Janet Bond.
No Bond inside. There's no good. It will not be. It may be, I am just assuming that it's going to be somebody with a different name to start with, but it's going to be maybe one very catchy name that has a solid punch to it. Like, you know, my name is Bond, James Bond kind of thing to go with it. But it's going to be somebody who will take over that role. I know that we know that James Bond was created by this guy they call Ian Fleming. He's the one that, first of all, wrote the early date novels. And I think the first one I read was Moonraker, when I was, you know, back in the day. And Moonraker basically have all this whole Cold War thing, outer space, you know, thing. Although, like Stanley just mentioned, that we are dealing with newer threats, which is true. And these newer threats can be represented in these... But if they are still calling Daniel Craig James Bond, because if we are even going with the argument that 007 is just a rule, I think maybe Daniel Craig's name too should have changed, because his name is Bond, James Bond, and it has been the name over the years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Roger Moore was James Bond, Sean Connery was James Bond, and it means James Bond has lived a very, very long time. Or is it the name you just assume? It's true. That's what I think. Or is it a name you just assume? You know, you just assume.
I think it's actually the name of a character. But each time they bring James Bond with a new person, they're sort of telling the story from the beginning again. You know, that's it. You know, he can't have lived for almost 80 something years.
Yeah. Okay. On that note, we have come to the end of this episode of Real Talk Extra. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with regards to the movies that we talked about. And we urge you to go and see those movies. Feel free to send us an email at podcast@realtalkextra.com. And we would love to see your feedback. Thank you once again for listening. Thank you, Onyeka and Stanley. Great conversation.
Thank you.
Thank love and light.
We'll meet again at the next reel.
No time to die. Coming soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
All trailers used in this podcast is posted on our website at realtalkextra.com. That is realtalkextra.com. When you get to the website, click on trailer reactions and you'll be able to watch all the previews used in this podcast. You can send your own reactions through WhatsApp at +1 919 293 6448. That's WhatsApp only. Thank you for listening, and we will see you at the next trailer reactions and the next reel.